Today's reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 to 11, New International Version. Invitation to the thirsty. Come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. Let them turn unto our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it, without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire, and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Today's reading is taken from John chapter 7, verses 37 to 40, New International Version. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. On hearing his words, some of the people said, "Surely this man is the prophet. This is the word of the Lord."
Morning, all. I don't normally do this, but I think those two readings, they're just read superbly. Yeah. Thank you. Who likes to be thirsty? I know I don't. I just excuse me a minute. That really hit the spot. There's more cartons of juice for those who want them on the way out. Please do. Nothing worse than a thirst, is there? But we're going to talk today a little bit about our spiritual thirst. But first of all, let's pray. Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, you are the one who refreshes us. It's the only place there where you can get full spiritual refreshment. It's through you. So let our reflections and our meditations and my words be pleasing to you, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today is the second part of the series based on Psalm 23. It's all about restore and restoration as we look to a post-pandemic world and what that means for us. And today we're talking about the subject of refresh. And I'm going to try to keep as still as I can because I tend to move around this stage and then I get in trouble. So I'm going to try to stay on this. But if you see me go one side or the other, please do call me back. So what comes to mind when you think about refreshment? Food, a thirst that needs something to drink, perhaps even spiritual refreshment. We'll look at that later. Have you ever been very, very thirsty? Have you ever been very, very thirsty? Try to think of a time where that physical reaction really needed that thirst to be quenched. At the moment, we've got the Euros on, and sportsmen and sportswomen everywhere, wondering about what their sport, but particularly team sports where they're running around a lot, they need to keep the hydration levels up. And that's actually very good advice for us all. How many litres of water do you think we need to drink in a day? Two. Some healthy people in the audience, great. It is indeed two. 2 litres of water. If we don't drink 2 litres of water, what the brain does, it sends moisture and fluids to our major organs, our heart, our liver and our lungs, and things like saliva glands, they don't get any. Bit of dental knowledge there from my past. But dry mouth often is because we're not drinking enough water. So from a physical point of view, 2 litres of water is what you need. If you don't, then your physical and biological health might start to suffer. So no water to quench your thirst equals potential bad health. But so much for physical thirst. What about our spiritual thirst? As we look forward to beyond the pandemic and beyond the lockdowns that we've had, we need to recognise, of course, the difficulties that we have all had. And it's affected us all, and it's particularly affected some people. Some people who I know have still hardly been out the house in 15 months. So this time is a time of reflection, it's a time of reset, but what does this mean for our spiritual thirst? We certainly need to support each other, but I wonder what we've all turned to during the pandemic. What have you turned to during the pandemic? Now, if you're anything like me, as you see with my waistline, I've turned to, I've probably eaten a little bit too much. I love to cook, and it's lovely to cook for the family, but cooking for the family means I'm eating a lot as well. So for me, I've turned a little bit too much in favour of hospitality, really. Not that hospitality is a bad thing, of course. So what have we turned to? Because if we don't turn to Jesus, our identity in Jesus, that leaves a big hole. It leaves a God-shaped hole. No Jesus, potential spiritual unhealthiness. No Jesus, there's a potential spiritual unhealthiness. And there's all kinds of worldly things that put a deposit between us and our spiritual. What does that look like for you? Augustine of Hippo, 3rd and 4th century bishop and theologian, said this: "Thou hast made us for thyself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds rest in thee." In short, God's created us for himself. We are to worship him. And our heart is restless until we recognise that. So what does the God-shaped hole look like for me? What does it look like for you? What does it look like for your friends, for your close family who don't know Jesus yet? What is that hole being filled with? Because the reality, nothing else hits the spot. Nothing else hits the spot. Let's quickly return to Psalm 23 that we started the series with. A Psalm of David. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul." Not my physical being. He refreshes my soul. David is a shepherd. Was a shepherd. He knows the needs of his flock. A safe place to rest and drink is essential. And God wants to do the same for us. Not just for a physical need, that's important, but especially for our spiritual need. Our souls need refreshment. Our souls need refreshment. Refreshment that quenches our thirst through our identity in Jesus. But how? how, you may ask. Well, Isaiah 55 gives us a good start. It gives us a practical way of stepping forward. First of all, we can practically accept God's invitation because God's invitation to the thirsty is extravagant. God's invitation to the thirsty, that's you and me, is extravagant. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. An extravagant invitation. We know God's invitation to the thirsty is faithful, assured, and loving and true. Give ear, the writer of Isaiah says. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. We have a faithful invitation from God. He has made a covenant with his people. And thirdly, God's invitation to the thirsty is not fulfilled or satisfied by worldly means. He says this, the writer of Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We don't find God's invitation through our looks, through our status, through our possessions, or through our social standing. So we have an offer of an extravagant invitation, a faithful invitation, and thank God, a heavenly invitation. We don't need to be and shouldn't be our own gods through earthly means, through status, through power, through our looks, or filled with the wrong things to plug that hole. Substance abuse, alcohol, food. In short, attempting to plug the God-shaped hole by worldly direction, wealth, and what we consume. We've asked how, partially answered by accepting God's invitation to quenching our thirst. But there's only one true way of accepting his invitation. No matter who we are, no matter what we look like, no matter where we come from, no matter what our status is, no matter what our relationship with these things that we've talked about is, this invitation, there's one way forward, open to all through and in Jesus, of course, the one true way. We satisfy our spiritual thirst by drinking from Jesus. John's account of Jesus at the festival of booths or the festival of tabernacles directs us to this conclusion. Jesus, the one true way of quenching our thirst. This celebration was about remembering the exodus out of Egypt, the wandering in the wilderness. The people lived in tents or booths for 8 days during this festival. It was also a celebration of harvest and praying for the quenching rain to come at the end of the summer season to start the growing season off again. And also in the time of Jesus, the tradition of a priest drawing water from the pool of Siloam, taking it to the temple and pouring it in the corner of the temple table or altar. Mirroring Ezekiel 47:1-12, where Ezekiel sees this vision of water flowing from the temple to nourish the land and start life afresh again. And mirroring Moses striking the rock in Exodus 17 and the water coming out. And it's perhaps at this moment where Jesus chooses during the festival to reveal that he is the only way our thirst can be quenched. John records this. On the last and the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow within them, actually from their belly, one translation, flows from them. Our spiritual thirst then is quenched by drinking from Jesus, because we have been created for relationship with God. The need to share this godly relationship with other people and with the world around us, that's the shape of our God-shaped whole. Jesus guides us to himself by saying, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." By expressing that our need for him is like our need for water, it demonstrates and shows a desire, a thirst, and a hunger that nothing else will plug, nothing else will fill. Of course, we often occlude our desire, our thirst, and our hunger for Jesus for our desires for the stuff of this world. And that affects me, that affects you, that affects everyone. The powers of this worldly existence of ours. Are we going to let them plug our God-shaped hole, or are we going to let Jesus plug our God-shaped hole? John explains to us that Jesus was talking about drinking and being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the means that we are filled. Those who believed in him were later to receive, John tells us. So the big idea, our restlessness, our need for worldly accolades, our need to be in with the in crowd, our need to look good, our need to be rich, our need to be prosperous, our need to own stuff, our need to plug the hole with substances, our restlessness will never be quenched through a pursuit and hunger for these things. It's only by inviting Jesus into our lives that our thirst for these things will slowly diminish and eventually be quenched in favour of a life with Jesus, through and enabled by the Holy Spirit. Mark Batterson, in his book All In, says this: "If you aren't hungry for God, you are full of yourself. That's why God cannot fill you with his Spirit. But if you will empty yourself, if you will die to self, you will be a different person." Don't get me wrong, I don't stand up here as someone who sorted out. All these issues, all these problems affect me just like everybody else. I don't want to stand here and try to proclaim anything different than that. But as a community, as a church, as we look beyond the lockdown, we can help each other. We can be alongside each other in brothers and sisters united in our pursuit for plugging the God-shaped hole. That's what the reset is about, seeking God. So, to finish, during the pandemic, where in your life have you become thirsty for God, especially during those periods of lockdown? For what have you become thirsty for? We've not been able to meet in person to worship until recent times, for fellowship. And we may have felt that we haven't been able to follow God's call for ourselves in our lives. Does your faith in this season feel a little bit flat? Do you want to know now? Do you want to reaffirm now? Do you want that Holy Spirit to fill that God-shaped hole? So you might want to do that for the first time. If you are watching online and you don't know Jesus, if you're watching in the building and you don't know Jesus, you might want to do that. And if you do know Jesus and you've welcomed him into your life already, well, let's do that again today as we go into this season, seeking to be refreshed. Let anyone who is thirsty come to Jesus and drink. Amen.